Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
We don't own the rights, but he does. Papa here is here.
No flame grows more than mine when I rip it. No stain most is as fine as my riddance. Gold flame, those are the guys when they give it. If you can't fit in the bucket, I'm living
oh.
In the
bucket.
I'm sitting my cup till I'm kicking the bucket. I hit them with love, never tripping or stumbling. I get the shit done.
They say his mama didn't want him to flush him into the sewers.
Might need to cut that last part. That might be copyrighted.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Hey. Welcome to the Midnight Paco Podcast. As always, you can follow me at Justin Fuller Comedy on all platforms.
I am the underscore great underscore C-O-R-E-E. That's where you can find me. Right. Or you can find us both on the Midnight Paco Podcast.
That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you can see, we do have a special guest.
We do have a guest.
He is a fellow comic.
Yes.
An actor.
Yes.
And as you've heard, an MC, a rapper.
Yeah,
as well.
Lyricist. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Glenn Mentir.
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah.
Appreciate having you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And where can they find you?
I can find me on Instagram, on Facebook, just at Glenn Mentir. Very simple. Yeah, nothing crazy. But okay. Yeah, that's where I post all my shows.
Yeah, like TikTok. That.
I do actually. Yeah, you can follow me on TikTok as well. I think it's the same name at Glenn Mentir.
What about
two ends?
Two ends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you spell Mentir? Just give us.
It's a Mentier.
Oh. And in case you want to hear more music from Glenn Mentir, where can they find that?
You can find that on YouTube and Spotify at Lyrical Rap Syndicate.
Yeah.
Talk about flowing.
He was spitting, wasn't he?
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, and you were saying, oh, that's not bad. My shit. You were using over spitting, like Eminem and shit.
I got bars.
Yeah, he's younger, man. He kept that shit fluid.
Yeah.
Thank you. Just like my gender.
There he
I'm
is.
Just kidding. Huh?
Well, I was about to say, wow. Well, I didn't know, but whatever.
Yeah. No,
fluid means you go.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's cool. That's what you do?
Like sexuality wise, or no, I'm just straight. I'm just a straight white male. Yeah,
I'm just a white male.
I mean, joking.
Nothing
against it. It's fine if you want
to. Yeah, if that's what you do.
Episode of the Midnight Paco Podcast brought to you in part by the Acumen Paralegal Services. Help you help yourself the legal way. The services that they offer is they help with documents that need to be typed, guardianships, probate, divorce, wills and trust, complaints, business organization, financial planning, and legal research and writing. Go ahead and give them a call at 216-727-0049 or 216-456-2000. Michelle White will get you right.
So what's up,
brother? Oh, not much. Just chilling, happy to be here.
Yes.
Very thankful you guys brought me on. Man. Excited to do some casting.
Hey, man. I have to say you're one of my favorites.
Thank you. Appreciate
that. Every time we met you. Yep. You know, every time you're on stage. Just your wit, you're funny, your style. It's fun. You know what I mean? You're up there just fucking having fun, and that's what it's about. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah, I like Smith.
Silly as shit. Yeah. Your bunny joke is funny.
Thank you.
Yep. People, you gotta come out and see him because it's a hilarious joke.
You know what? And it, you know, he sort of reminds me of myself because, like, I don't know, like, the majority of the stuff that I seen from him was, like, really clean, like, family oriented.
Yeah.
But he does have a dark side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He does have a dark side. But, you know, I guess he's open for corporate gigs.
Sure am. Yeah. So, Pfizer. If you're looking, sponsor me.
You know, and like you know, I'm not, you know, speaking for him, but his stuff is like, he has family oriented stuff as well, mm-hmm. you know. But you know, I think he can. What do you prefer?
I prefer I prefer to not have to be clean.
If really?
Yeah. I mean, it's easier, right?
Yeah.
Because anything goes. But I can do clean. Like, yeah. I have jokes that are clean that I can do if I need to. But I do like being able to just tell whatever I want without any restrictions.
Yeah. But you can't tell my favorite joke, technically.
No, I could not.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which is silly because you don't really swear, but you talk about...
Like blowjobs.
Yeah.
It's like...
I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, I don't know. I know I heard him do both, and they both were great.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like, you know, to me, look at him. He looks like, you know what I told you he looked like? Spencer from iCarly.
It's true.
So,
yeah. Actually, I auditioned for that part, and he got it over me.
Damn it.
I pissed. I could have, yeah.
No.
So they're looking
no,
for this
kind of. No, he's older than you, man. Way older than you.
Yeah, I was like 5. So I was lying.
Yeah. So how long have you been doing comedy?
Just at 2 years in October.
Okay. Yeah,
just,
October
yeah. what? That's a good question.
I didn't
record the exact. I know it was towards the end of October is when I started. I don't know the exact date.
You didn't record it?
It is recorded on my phone somewhere. I'd have to look. I don't know. Yeah, all right. Because I do have the first video of my first set on my phone.
I posted mine.
Wait a minute.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I may have some pics.
Ooh, for my first time.
I don't know.
Interesting.
I might.
You might.
Okay. Like
yeah,
I said,
he does that type of shit. He does that type of shit.
I might. I don't know. Like, people that go up for the first time, I try to, you know, because I think that you should capture that moment.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, he'll be in there. He'll just take pictures of random motherfuckers that we just meet.
No, well, people, when they say it's their first time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. When they say it's their first time, that you just meet, you know what I mean? You'll take a picture of them.
No, that's nice.
I'm a weirdo, I guess.
There's a lot of people not out there like you. We've had this conversation with your memory and, you know... conversations you've had with people. He knows everybody.
No, I don't.
And he remembers everything.
Sometimes.
It's amazing.
I'm old. You see these grays?
Look, man, there was somebody that performed at the Funny Stop, and they ain't been there months. And they showed up, and he's like, hey, man, what's going on? Yeah, you did this joke, this and that. And this dude looked at him like, who the fuck are you, and why do you know this information? But he was right. They had the right guy and the right information.
Cool. So he pays attention.
Yes.
Pays attention.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I'm a fan of the game.
Yeah, but that's a skill, man.
I'm a fan of the game, and that's why, you know, like, when you and I first came, I would only hope and wish there was a Justin and Cool C to greet us when we first started to come. Because when we first came, we all can say we came from the Funny Stop.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
You started at the Funny Stop.
Yeah, I started there.
I started at the Funny Stop, and nobody was talking to us at all. Only person that did was two touring comics. Right. Gary Garcia.
Yep.
Shout out to Gary Garcia.
Shout out to Gary Garcia.
And what was it, Mike Merck?
Mike Merck, yep.
They was the only people that, like, talked to us. We hung out with them and things like that.
Was this on Wednesdays?
Well, they were there because they had a show that weekend.
Okay.
And so they were there checking it out or whatever the case. And so we were there. And then after the mic, They were there and we were hanging out with them, talking to them about everything, because they've been doing it for what, at that point, almost 10 years? Something.
Yeah. Mike Mark's super. I hosted for him at the Funny Stop recently. So
Really?
Yeah. He like went to the Wednesdays before.
Unbelievable.
Oh, he's so funny. He's so good off the cuff. Yeah, I'm jealous.
Yeah.
How good he is.
Glenn,
he's also been doing it forever in a different city.
You working, you on your way, man. I'm telling you.
I'm trying.
So, speak on that, though. What was your experience coming to the Funny Stop for the first time?
I was nervous as shit. I practiced for like 2 or 3 weeks before even doing my first set. Because I've always wanted to do stand-up comedy, but I was always too scared. I didn't think I could be funny like on like just on the spot. You know, I was always reactively funny.
Right.
But then my friends started doing stand-up, and then I got some FOMO, and I was like, I want to do stand-up too if you're doing stand-up. That's the main reason. That's what pushed me into doing it. And then they were doing it before me a couple weeks, and I was just going and watching them and like practicing my set every night for like 2 or 3 weeks before I did my first set. Okay. I did my first set, and I got like no laughs, but it was fine.
Really?
not my first set, no.
Okay.
None of my jokes really landed. I think I had one at the end that landed. But I just kept trying it, and then I kept getting a little bit better and better.
Okay.
It was a really good experience, though, because everyone at the Funny Stop is super friendly. It was a really nice.
By the time you got there.
Yeah, by the time I got there, you guys were there, and you were super nice to me.
Yeah.
And then you know there was like Liam, Duke were there, and they were super,
Liam and Duke.
Nice guys. I'm not sure if everyone was mean to me. I don't know if I would have kept doing it.
Right. Right.
But everyone was really nice to me, so
I don't think
back.
They were. They weren't mean. They just didn't talk to us.
Yeah, they weren't outgoing. They weren't like us, I guess
you could say.
Or definitely him, because he'll approach anybody. You know what I mean?
I mean, because, you know, it
means a lot to people. It really does. You know what I'm saying? Because I'll tell you what, the first person to really approach me outside of anybody was Ebony Timberlake. She was there. Do you know who Ebony Timberlake is?
I've heard the name. Okay. Yeah, I don't know if I know him.
Yeah,
I've met her.
She's more up in Cleveland, but she was down at the Funny Stop the one time when I was down there, and she came up to me and, you know, said something to me, and that was the first time a comedian, you know what I mean, came up to me outside of anything and said, hey, keep doing what you're doing. That's good stuff. You know what I'm saying? So it's good to hear that reinforcement.
Like when you said, you know, you practice. Now, I can recall from my first time, it was like Pete...
R.I.P.
He would introduce people. He'll welcome people to the club, show them pictures. You know, there's Steve Harvey. He started right here.
Yep.
John Henning. He started right here. You see, Cool C. First time he did 2 minutes. I'm like, damn, Pete. You don't tell everybody that. I did 2 minutes. I advanced to the next week, and those 5 minutes, if you have 2 weeks or a week for your next set, those 5 minutes can hold you hostage.
Oh.
For a whole week or whenever.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just 5 minutes can be, you'll be in your head the whole 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
And you said you was practicing and things like that. So, like, and you've been on stage several times. Like, so, like, can you walk me through that process? Like, how was that for you? That was how it was for me. But how was it for you?
Oh, I felt like an eternity out there for my first 5 minutes. I was just waiting for it to end, especially when you do your first bit and then no one's laughing. You're like, did I make a mistake? But I don't know. I just powered through it. And like, I've been on stage before. I did plays all throughout high school. I did plays in college. I was always like the host of school events in high school.
So I'm used to being on stage.
Yeah, I'm used to the stage.
With other people.
Yeah, with other people. I've never been on stage alone, and there's something really vulnerable about doing stand-up comedy where it's like, it feels like a personal attack when you don't get laughs because you thought it was funny, and then you're not validated, and you're thinking that thing was funny.
But sometimes it's the delivery of it, too.
That's true, yeah.
You've learned that it can be the delivery of said joke, too, or what you're trying to get across, and you just haven't found the right way to do it.
Yeah.
You know, comedy is so weird because, obviously, my mind is so geared towards filth, unfortunately. So a lot of my jokes end up in that realm.
Right.
And if you're just somebody who's just not trying to deal with that, you know what I mean? It's just not your style. You know what I mean?
So another thing that I learned was, it's like, okay, so you're doing your open mic, and like if you do your open mic, you can do your material over and over, and it may not, you think it's not doing well because it's in front of maybe
same
a room full of comedians, the same people. And then you might perform the same joke somewhere else, and you'll kill.
Right.
So it's like, I guess my advice to you, if you haven't, and I know you have,
move
around.
Oh yeah.
Go to Buffalo
for sure.
Go to PA. You know, do some John Huff. Shout out to John Huff. Shout out to
John Huff. John Huff. Yeah,
great
guy.
Do some John Huffs. You know, just move around because you know, you want the approval from your peers, but sometimes you won't get it.
Yeah.
Right.
So you want to see it in front of a audience to see how your material really is you know, how it really hits.
Right.
With the audience or not.
Yeah.
And you got a lot of great stuff.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
And you said about how much time do you have?
How much time total do I have? I mean, like all my jokes, probably like 40 minutes worth of jokes.
You ready for a special?
Like that. Yeah, I guess. I mean, I've never done longer than like 15 minutes.
Yeah, that's
so
the thing.
I have a lot of individual jokes, but like to put them all in a single set,
right?
You know, it would take a lot of work. I haven't had to do that yet.
Yeah.
So I haven't because I'm lazy. So I haven't like made a 40-minute set because I'm not.
Trust me, man.
But I've done 15-minute sets like a good number of times, and I've always gone pretty well. Comedy is also weird because this is the one thing you do that you can. The only way to practice is to do it in front of people.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, like if you play guitar, if you like make rap songs, you know, you can practice your rap over and over again until it's perfect, and then record it and it sounds good.
Yeah.
Comedy, you can practice your jokes over and over again. But you don't know if it's going to work until you tell it in front of people and they either laugh or don't laugh.
And it's so hard to get somebody who has no idea what you're about to say just to laugh.
Oh,
Or someone that don't know you. Reaction just to laugh at something you said. You know?
Someone that don't know you. Like, like you said, like it's easy to, you know, make your friends laugh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you know,
yeah, because they have a background of you. They know.
Yeah, they know you. They know your
personality.
Human.
You know you're gonna say some weird shit.
And you get away with edgier stuff too with your friends,
absolutely.
Also, than with strangers on stage.
But to me, I think what we're trying to do
on a date. trying to be a certain way in front of somebody.
No, but think about this. Think about this, fellas. Like what we are doing. Like the more you people are familiar with you, you grow your fan base, and those.
Yeah.
Our auditorium or a club full of your friends, and you can be free and and they will
100%, 100%.
Give you.
That's true. Yeah, the hard part's getting there.
Because
until you get there, you're still just doing it in front of strangers.
And not only that, you don't have time within a set. Either you're up there for 5 minutes, you don't have time to really for them to get to know you.
Right.
15 minutes is tough too, because you can do a little fluff,
stuff.
And, you know, back and forth, but. Most of the time, you're up there trying to do your fucking 15-minute bits. Yeah. You know what I mean?
To be honest with you, like you said, you did 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Your 5-minute bit at the open mic, you could probably do that for 15 minutes.
Just like stretch it out, you know, or like fill in gaps.
Or just stretch it out because, you know, I don't know if you're like me, but when I was trying to get my jokes out, I'm like, blah, 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 blah. All right. I've been cool, so you think you know what I'm saying?
No,
for 5
yeah.
minutes. But see, when you have 15 minutes, you know, shout out to the comedian headliner. He's out of Detroit. I can't think of his name right now, but he was the headliner, and I went up.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And he said, "You were good. Slow down."
Yep.
And I'm coming straight from like 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. He said, "Slow down. And believe in what you're saying."
Because
if you don't believe in what you're saying, the audience won't believe in what you're saying.
Right.
But I'm coming straight off of doing 5 minutes. So I was up there like, blah, 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 blah. All right, thank you, good night.
Yep.
Yeah. But see, we record our sets. Justin and I record each other's sets. Do you record yours?
I do. I have Kelly recorded everything.
Nice.
Yeah, my girlfriend. Shout out my girlfriend, Kelly. She's great.
Hey, Kelly.
Hey. Support.
Right. She said I had to say that. So. I'm
Kelly,
just kidding.
Shout out to Kelly. Yeah. Shout out to you. She's always there supporting.
Oh, yeah.
She is. She's very supportive.
She supports us. You know
she supports
us.
Comedy.
Yeah.
And that's a plus for me.
But
Glenn.
That's what I'm saying. When we're at the clubs and there ain't nobody laughing, you'll hear her. You're like, at least somebody, thank you.
Thank you.
Fucking support.
Thank you. Says she has a horrible memory, so that helps her laugh at jokes more because she always forgets the jokes people do.
Well, good, because that means it's working every time.
No, but see, God. Okay, so since you're listening to your bit, you know, I don't know if you notice, but sometimes you got to keep rolling through the laughter.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're doing shows, you can slow up and let them get that laugh out. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Because when we got 5 minutes, okay, I know you're laughing, but here go the next thing. I got to keep it rolling.
Yeah.
So what shows do, you can slow it down, you can add more, and and things of that nature. So I think that's a difference. So that's why I say, please, if you can, spread yourself, go out. So who are some of your comedic influences?
Excuse me. Bo Burnham, probably number one. I've been a huge fan of him since high school. I actually started out in high school. I would write funny songs and perform them for like a talent show.
Okay. Songs, in high school. Songs or rap songs?
Both.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah, funny, okay. Funny songs, funny rap songs. Me and Travis Brown, shout out.
Shout out Travis.
He's another comic. We started together, but we used to do the talent show in high school.
Okay.
And we would do comedic duo bits where we would like do skits and songs.
Yeah.
And Bo Burnham is a big influence for me with doing that stuff. Because he started off just posting funny songs on YouTube.
Nice.
And then someone found it, like a producer.
Okay.
And they gave him a chance. He was the youngest comic ever to do a stand-up comedy special on Comedy Central. He was 18 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, when he did his first special.
Okay.
Yeah, and he started off was with like YouTube videos of him doing funny like raps and songs.
Nice.
Yeah, so that influenced me a lot.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, like in high school, I was doing that all the time. Me and Travis got second place in our talent show. Shout out Southeast High School, second place in our talent show.
What city is that?
Sophomore year. Diamond, Ohio. It's in like it's a rural area.
Okay.
I think it's technically like the mailing address is Ravenna, but that doesn't really matter.
Do they have a Walmart?
No.
Okay.
No, it's a bunch of sheep, bunch of farm animals. Smells like manure.
Okay.
They have llamas?
Llamas?
Llama.
There was a llama farm.
Nice.
There was a llama farm. My cousin worked on a llama farm in that area. Yeah.
Shout out to llamas.
You know also, what?
PSA for llamas, if they're about to spit in your face, which they do,
yes,
you have to punch them. That's what I heard is you gotta punch the llama to assert your dominance.
No.
So if you're ever in a situation where a llama's attacking you and about to spit on you, just knock him in the face.
Damn.
Yeah, so
you know what? I've been around llamas. And listen, they you know, people think that animals don't have conscience and minds and things.
Boy.
Look, they have attitudes when they're shaving. I'm telling you, they look at you like, what the F you looking at? You never saw a shaved llama before? Mm-hmm. They don't like it. I don't think they do. They look at you like, what the F you looking at? You know?
No, they're territorial. They're very feisty. Like,
are they?
So if you stare at them, they will spit in your face.
See,
yeah, it's crazy. Llamas are crazy.
It takes a thought process for that.
Does.
You know, people think animals are like stupid, but you know, no.
That's an evolutionary thing.
Which I don't know if it makes it better or worse that you punch them in the face because they're more like a human. So it's like you're not punching an innocent animal. I feel like we shouldn't talk about punching animals on the podcast.
No.
Let's move on.
It happens.
We can move on.
It happens. Sometimes you gotta punch.
But yeah. So Burt Brennan was a big influence of mine. I got off track there. Anthony Jeselnik also.
Okay.
I've been a huge fan of Anthony Jeselnik. I'm a big fan of the art of the joke, you know. So I have a big appreciation for one-liner comics, you know, just telling joke after joke. I feel like it's very impressive to like continuously write just joke after joke after joke. Because if you're filling an hour with one-liner jokes,
that's
like
60 of them.
It's probably like two jokes a minute at least.
Yeah,
so that's a 100 something jokes. Anthony Jeselnik's a huge one. And also Louis C.K., I think.
He's
kind of the opposite. Oh, whoops.
Yeah.
He's kind of the opposite. He's like a more storyteller type comedian.
Yeah, but I see like the style.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Kind of like that dark humor, kind of ride the line type thought out process, you know, obviously. Because Anthony Jeselnik, he likes that reversal.
Yeah, he's super dark too.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and he's super dark. So, going into the Funny Stop and, you know, doing that, you've been doing it for 2 years. Throughout that process, have you noticed your growth?
Yeah, for sure. Like with comedy, I feel like, and I've told other like comics who are newer than me this, progression in comedy is not linear. There's like no just straight line, I'm getting better, I'm getting better.
Exactly.
Because there's going to be weeks where you're killing it and you're like, I'm the best I've ever been. And then right after that week, you'll bomb for the entire week.
And then
you'll feel like, you're like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Why do I suck now? None of my jokes are working. How have I gotten worse? Well, then you get out of that and you do good again. And then like after you climb out of that hole, you feel like you've improved. So don't get discouraged if you're a new comic that you don't feel like you're funny. and your jokes aren't landing for a while, he's got to keep going, like, because that happens to everybody.
Right.
Like, you'll go through rough patches where you'll feel like,
absolutely,
like your jokes are doing bad. Like, I'm not funny. I should just quit. I feel embarrassed.
Especially when you're at open mics.
All those, like, thoughts.
Even though we're at the funny stop most of the time, and there's a decent crowd, half that crowd sometimes is comedians that don't laugh.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? And they just sit there. And so when you go back and listen to your shit again.
For those of you watching the podcast, he showed me a picture of him posing with a llama. That's a cool llama, though.
Thank you,
that's
man.
That's a really cool
with
llama.
With some shades on.
He's got
on,
some swag, that llama.
Yeah,
Kelsey's got some shades on.
For all you guys who.
I'm going to send it to you so you can put it up there, Jay.
Okay. Yeah, there. Oh, perfect. There we go. Yeah.
Bam! If it doesn't send it to me, it's not getting put up. But people just listening, you're not going to be able to see it. So go to YouTube, subscribe, and watch the llama and cool C.
That's right.
True. Yeah.
Appreciate it, everybody.
Yeah.
So is there any tendencies that you had that you don't have anymore, or things that you wanted to work on that you didn't have? Like him, you know, he looks at people more. I'm trying not to pace as much. Mm-hmm. I used to think I had to fill the stage, and it's like, it's not that big of a fucking stage. I can just stand here.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm trying not to fidget and move, because I used to do like this because I got energy, and it's like, why the fuck am I up there bouncing around?
Cartwheels and shit.
Yeah. So I'm trying to not do that. Is there anything that you realize that you used to do, like not playing with the cord?
First of all, I've seen Glenn never really moved around.
No, he stands still.
Nah, I usually stand, like,
Yeah, but I'm talking about for you personally, because I've never seen you just go up there and do your shit, but... And, you know, is there anything you think you had to work on?
Yeah, for sure. Like, when I first started, I had every joke and bit, like, written out word for word, and then I would do it word for word on stage, and it came off way too rehearsed. Like, you could obviously tell. Yeah, that's like I'm reading a script. Like, it was like my inner theater major in me was, like, doing a play on stage.
Okay.
And I realized that's not working. Like, with comedy, you got to pretend like you're having a conversation with the audience.
Yeah.
And so I stopped writing word for word on my jokes out. I'll think of, like, I'll get a joke in my head. I'll write it out first, but then I'll keep recording different versions of it on my phone.
Okay.
And then I won't decide what version I'm doing until I go on stage. And then I just see what comes out of my mouth. Like, I have an idea of the setup and the punchline, but, like, the stuff in between is just, like, authentic me just saying whatever, like, fills in the gaps.
Okay.
And that made it a lot more, like, authentic. And I don't sound like I'm just rehearsing a, you know, play on stage. But that's the main thing I had to work on, I think.
That's important.
That's very important, is trying to make it just seem authentic. Because even me, there's certain parts in my bits that are still robotic because I remember them word for word.
Right.
You know what I mean? And sometimes the cadence is the only way that it comes out, though, but it still sounds scripted. You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know. I'm still working on it.
In my opinion,
it takes,
like,
time. Yeah. I'm still working on it as well.
We are our worst critics.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, and to a person that doesn't know, and they just see our set, I'm sure it appears like, you ever saw a female look in the mirror and fix their hair, and then when they're done, they're like fixing their hair for like 5 minutes, and then when they're done, they look exactly the same as they did.
Every day when I wake up, every single time.
They're like doing this for like 5 minutes,
<I'm> like, oh.
And then they look exactly the same.
Yep.
You're like, what are you doing? You know, but it's a look or a sound, or and it's pretty, like, we are our worst critics.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. And you might think it sounds robotic. And, you know, one of the things that I often tell, I think you may have did it one time. If you mess up on stage, nobody knows it.
Right.
Like, if you say, damn, I fucked up. If you say that on stage, nobody know that you've done it.
Yep.
Yeah.
I've definitely done it once, and I think I never did it again after that.
Yeah, like if you didn't say it, wouldn't nobody ever know?
No way would ever. Except for sometimes, I know the comedians know I've said my shit like out of sync or this and that, or said it or fucked it up, because sometimes you sit there, you listen to people say, you know the goddamn set.
You know
what I mean?
Yeah.
We've joked like we should go up and do each other's sets.
Yeah,
you know
that'd
what
be
I mean?
Pretty fun.
Just go up there and I'm taking the
bunny suit. Sounds in a bunny suit. Yeah. You're like, keep saying that.
Yeah. The bunny suit. Yeah.
This is inside baseball for anybody who doesn't know the jokes.
Yeah. Best warehouse worker on the motherfucking planet.
I mean, that would be hilarious.
You guys ever Google your name?
But it's funny because you just don't want to, you know.
Anybody want to hear any math jokes?
I haven't done that one in a while, actually.
No, you got a lot of good ones. Like I said, your humor is funny because it's sometimes it's silly but witty. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you play off of certain things. You know,
I appreciate it. Sometimes I feel like I'm trying to be too clever. And there's a difference between like being clever and funny, you know. Like, because if you're clever, people are like, "That's funny."
Yeah, but if
you're funny, people will laugh out loud,
right?
You know, so if, that's a fine line to walk.
Sometimes they'll laugh at, on the way home.
That's true.
Right.
Yeah.
See, that's what we're trying. We talk about all the time is getting belly laughs.
Right.
We get laughs. There's times I've gotten belly laughs from the same material, so it's weird because different rooms produce different.
Oh yeah.
You know, atmospheres and different.
Well, so many variables in comedy. Like, the audience is a huge variable. Who's there? Like, what they think is funny.
Yeah.
You know, how you're feeling that day is a variable. Yeah. Like, your energy. So, the same joke can kill one night and bomb the other night.
100%. It's a tough
profession.
It is, but it's not. I mean, because the problem is we all go for the same goal. We all have, I don't want to say egos, because there's a lot of egos. I think
I want to say we all do.
We do, but I don't.
Yeah. I think we all do. Come on.
I don't know.
Look at me. I got the microphone. Pay a babysitter. I don't care. Come see me.
Ultimately, that sounds egotistical, but I like just going up there and being able to talk shit. And I guess, that sounds it. But at the same time, it's just...
It's still... Get a babysitter.
100%. I can't disagree.
Buy a ticket. Mm-hmm. Get dressed up to come see me talk on this microphone.
This is true.
Yeah, that's true. I think every comedian is a little bit narcissistic because you kind of have to be to want to garner attention from dozens of people.
Jay. It is what it is, man.
But it's weird because I don't look at it like that.
I look at it as
I just want to go up there and talk. But yes, you're right. You need other people to come and see you.
Yeah, get that babysitter.
It's a tough, I know.
Call off work the next day. Come see me. Dress up. Put on your best
outfit. It's not worth it because I talk about fun stuff.
It's true. See,
relationships and all stuff. Type of
stuff. See, he was like, it's all worth it. Somebody else might say, no, it's not.
Oh, there's tons of people out there who probably think that, 100%.
Yeah.
But if you look at a show that we put together, all three of us do different things.
Yes.
It's true. Yeah.
You know what I always say? That's the beauty of open mics,
exactly.
Because you get like all different types of comedy.
Yeah, on one show.
On one show,
you see 12 comics doing a lot of different shit, and it's usually not as the tickets a lot cheaper than a regular show would be on the weekend or some shit.
Oh, way cheaper. Sometimes free.
Sometimes free.
Depending on where you go.
Yeah, $3.99.
But that's why it's upsetting that the Funny Stop doesn't. You know, it used to pop on Wednesdays.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I just know.
Hey, anybody in the Ohio area,
don't put stuff out there like.
Well, you just said it.
But you don't know. You don't know.
You just did it, bro.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
It's too late.
I know.
Cross the bridge.
Anybody
wants to show up.
Yeah, show
for
up.
A show.
Come to the Funny Stop in Cuyahoga Falls. They do support live comedy.
They do lights.
Wherever you are.
It's bright as shit, man.
It's so bright.
Wherever you are, anywhere in the world, support live comedy. If you love comedy, find out where those mics are. If you want to do it, if you don't want to do it, just go to support. It's almost like you never know who's going to be at those open mics.
It's true.
Facts.
You have touring comics.
You got
newbies. You got touring comics.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a discounted show. It's like going to a barber college.
Sure.
So let me ask you this. I like that phrase.
Let me ask you this.
I just think of Chris Rock every time. Let me ask you this. Can you kick my ass? Every time from his bit. But so when you first started wanting to do it, did you know about the Funny Stop, or like how did you search out where to go?
The reason I knew about the Funny Stop was because one of my friends did his first set at the Funny Stop.
Okay.
And then that's pretty much what snowballed me into going. Because my friend did it. My other friend did it because he did it. Okay. Then I did it because my other friend did it.
Okay.
And so we all started doing it.
Are they all doing it?
Travis was one of my friends. He's still doing it.
He's still
Travis, the other friend, I think, is taking a hiatus.
Travis Brown.
Yeah. Like the color.
You remember.
I think I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been at the Funny Stop a bunch.
Yeah.
I'm sure he.
There was a Trent Brown too, right?
There was. Yeah. Yes. Well, good memory.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not sure he's doing it anymore. Which is funny because he's the one that got us all to do it.
Trent.
Because he's the first one who did it, and then we wanted to.
Tell Trent. Yeah. So shout out to Trent Brown.
Travis and then you.
Yeah.
That's how the order.
And then Brian followed.
Okay,
my friend Brian.
Shout out to Brian
Stiegel.
Shout out to Brian.
He's a really funny guy.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. It's a whole train of comedians.
Yeah, I've been reaching out to Trent.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Tell him.
Yeah, let him know. I don't know why. I'm not sure why he stopped. I don't want to get too into it because it might be personal.
No, it could be, but just let him know that I've been trying to reach you, man. Because I think he did my room I was doing.
Yeah, he probably did. He was all over the place when he started. He was like going to every show possible.
Yeah. I reached out to him. I don't know if his number changed or not, but
I'll let him know.
Yeah. So I mean, doing this, I mean, it's like, so you started with friends, but think of all the people you've met.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? I talk about this all the time with, you know, with him. It's, if I wouldn't even thought about doing this, the people I would have never met. You know what I mean? I may have been sitting at home one day and seen them on TV. You know what I mean? Because they've done it. You know what I mean? But I would have never met them. And now it's like we've met so many people that if they keep going, there's a career in it.
You know
what I mean? Because there's a lot of good people out here.
To be honest with you, everybody that I personally invited on the show is people that I think is going to be up.
100%. You know, that's what this platform's about.
And so on.
Yeah, we want
to let everybody know.
Highlight the people that we feel in the area that are, you know,
doing something, the movers and shakers.
Yeah, doing something, takes it seriously.
Absolutely.
Wants to grow within, because we talked off camera that you started, what, in high school doing plays and...
Yeah.
And on camera.
Yeah. So... That's something you look forward to doing in the future?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'd love to keep... I want to be a touring comic at some point. I would love to, you know, be an actor, do acting.
But you are an actor.
An actor, yeah. I have done acting, I'm still an actor.
He's an actor.
Yeah.
So you have stuff out there on, like, YouTube and everything? Like,
no, not for acting. I have, like, music on YouTube. Yeah. I have some sets on YouTube from comedy, but I don't have any acting. Okay. I don't think... There might be something if you type in my name and, like... play or something that pops up.
But
if there is, it was from like
high school.
Eight years ago.
Okay, still.
I did acting in college too. That I think we posted.
Been what since like 1998?
Something like that.
I think 1998.
Yeah, it's pretty old by now.
Nice.
I think I have a
tattoo. That's cool because basically, you know, you'll be surprised of how many actors and actresses there are that use acting as a plan B.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because Billy Dee Williams, who was an artist, and acting was a plan B for him. So you'll be surprised. And, you know, like, you know, if Jamie Foxx was, you know, he ultimately wanted to be a musician.
Oh, okay.
And acting and comedy was his, you know, his plan B and C.
Gotcha.
Oh, really? I didn't know that was his first love.
Oh, music.
It was music.
You can tell, can't you?
I mean, obviously he can do it very well, but like, he's also funny.
He's actually, like, to me, one of the most talented individuals in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
I say him and Wayne Brady, but, you know.
Yeah, they're on the same.
Yeah, they can do everything. Yep. Like, they're almost like cartoons. You know how cartoons can do everything.
Right.
They're cartoons.
When I think of Wayne Brady, I just think of the Chappelle skit.
Yeah.
Is Wayne Brady going to slap a hoe? Yeah, that's just... Good old classic Chappelle.
Absolutely.
Missed that show.
So, like, you know, let's put it out here because the world is watching. Like, you know, if you can wave a magical reality wand, what would Glenn Matera be doing, like, within the next couple of years?
Wave a magic wand?
Reality magic wand.
Oh, reality. So it's got to be, like, realistic.
Yeah.
So I can't gain the ability to... teleport or
sing
harmonies with myself.
Not yet.
I mean, you can still do that, can't you?
No. I don't know how to throat sing like those, like, blah. I just want to be a successful comedian, really. That or an actor. Like, I've always, in high school, I had this weird complex where I was convinced I'd be famous one day. And I always wanted to be famous, no matter what the cost or, you know, what it took. I wanted to be famous. There's actually Bo Burnham in a show called Zack Stone is Gonna Be Famous, and I feel like he made that show for me.
Yeah.
And you should watch. It's on Netflix. It's a really good show.
Okay.
But no, I always wanted to be, like, in the limelight, you know. So whatever, like, I think comedy is what I love the most, but I wouldn't mind, you know, doing acting.
Right.
Like being some famous actor or,
okay,
we're waving a magic wand, famous actor, famous comedian.
Famous actor.
Famous musician.
Will you be in a sitcom or movie or both? Or Will you be doing like rom-coms or like what type of? Let's put it in the atmosphere. Yeah, like,
probably indie horror. Indie horror movies.
Indie horror, okay.
No, I'm just kidding. I'd like to do movies. I think that'd be fun.
Like rom-coms, horror, action, doing your own stunts, Jackie Chan, or what?
Yeah, like what's your character?
I can do a mean somersault. So.
Oh, shucks. Yeah.
No, I probably like to do comedies. I think that's just what I was always best at in high school plays. I was best at the comedies.
Yeah.
I wasn't as good at the dramas that we would do. I was all right, but I like comedies. That's what I watch generally when I watch a movie. I like a good comedy.
Is that like your emotional base? You know what I mean? You don't get like sad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're just fucking emotional. I'm always trying to be uplifting.
I'm the same way. I'm a happy-go-lucky guy. Yeah. I am not emotional. I think I might be a little emotionally stunted.
Okay.
Yeah, because I have a real hard time expressing my emotions.
Okay.
Unless it's like dealing with being funny or being happy. Right. And like Kelly, my girlfriend, gets upset at me because when we fight, I will always make a joke to try to break the tension, she hates it.
Okay. Yeah.
But
yeah, I guess.
Which we barely ever fight. I probably shouldn't have said that.
Yeah. I mean,
it's not even a fight. It's a debate.
A debate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Disagreement.
But, yeah. Disagreement.
Yeah. But. Trust me. Relationships are the way.
So what's your position in your family household? You're the oldest. You're the youngest. You're the middle, or what?
I'm the oldest child.
Yeah,
my sisters call me the star child because they think I'm the favorite.
Really?
My mom has told me that I'm the favorite, so their fears are are accurate. But
I was a third child, so you know.
Yeah,
I see my brother. He's the golden boy.
I'm the baby.
You're the baby.
I'm the baby.
Okay,
but I don't think I act like the baby.
That's good.
No.
My sister
was the baby. She was 10 years after me. She was the oops child.
Super baby.
Oops child.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's fucking spoiled. She gets whatever. She's a fave.
No, I was wondering because, you know, because I asked that question because, you know, a lot of times it's like normally the babies or maybe the, I don't know if the middle child is like in the, I mean, it happens, but. Like Eddie Murphy, I don't know where he was, but I think he was like one of the youngest.
Yeah, the youngest is usually
he was like the middle child, I think, because he had a younger.
With the most, because they had to go through it.
Yeah, I was asking that because I'm
trying
to.
And about the attention.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out, like, you're the oldest, and a lot of times the oldest kids, they always feel like life would be better without their younger siblings.
Every day I think that.
Like, why did you have to have them for?
I'm just joking. I love my sisters. They're great. Shout out my sisters. A lot of shout outs today.
You know how much more stuff I could have without you guys?
It's true, though. I would have a lot more action figures if they were not in the picture.
G.I. Joe's are on point.
They were doing just fine.
They would also frame me as a kid, too. They would frame me. They would make me play with them. And if I didn't play with them, they would tell my mom I hit them. And then when we would play, they would have me throw them around. And they would make me keep doing it until I hurt them. And then they would tell my mom I hit them. Yeah, so either way, I would get in trouble. It was lose-lose. Yeah, for hurting them on accident or not playing with them. Because my mom always believed my sisters.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, because I'm like the taller. I'm like the boy. I'm older. So they're like, oh, yeah, you're
setting a bad example, son.
So that's where the comedy came from.
That's true.
So he was the third child, basically.
Pretty much, yeah.
Still the faves because he was the oldest, but got treated as such. I get it, man. So you said, what was that guy's name? Dom. He was an influence. Dom.
Bo Burnham?
Yeah, Bo Burnham.
Oh, yeah.
Bo Burnham. What the fuck?
Yeah, I love Bo.
So Bo Burnham, yeah. Okay, you said Louis C.K. and all those other guys.
And then Anthony and Jeselnik. Yeah, probably my top three, I'd say.
Top three?
Yeah.
You got two more?
Two more?
No, I normally ask top five.
Right now, Mark Normand. I love Mark Normand.
Yeah, he's probably style kind of like... Yours,
yeah. He's a bit of an influence on me. I like his style a lot. He's also kind of more of a one-liner guy.
Yeah,
like I'm mostly a one-liner guy. I have like bits,
right?
But I do a lot of one-liners. But Mark Normand, and I'd say I guess Adam Ray.
Okay,
just because he's. Have you ever seen Dr. Phil live?
No,
I just saw the advertisement for that.
Oh yeah, Adam Ray, it's on YouTube. Go watch. It's like so funny. He impersonates Dr. Phil.
And oh,
it's
hilarious.
Yeah,
but he's the talent coordinator, I think, at the Mothership now.
Really? Interesting. Okay.
I think the Mothership is a club in what is that? Austin.
Austin. Yeah.
Austin, Texas.
Rogan's Club.
Yep. That's where they've killed Tony, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
Jeffrey was on there.
You remember Jeff?
I don't know.
Dahmer?
No. Jesus Jeff.
Jesus Jeff.
Jesus Jeff.
I don't know if he's ever met
Jeff. Jeff Freely.
Jeff Freely, yeah.
Nah, I don't think I met.
You've probably seen him.
Has he been on the Face Time?
Yeah, I don't know.
There's so many people, you know, I forget.
Come through the funny stuff.
Yeah, so many comics.
How many comics have we seen through the Kill Tony? Remember the
dude from Buffalo that we met.
Remember the guy that talked about tipping cows or something? The Amish dude?
Yeah.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. He was on Kill Tony.
Yeah, he was really funny, too. Yeah, he did a good job.
Yeah, he did a good job.
Yes, it was named like Herschel or something? It's some southern name.
And then it was Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff Freely.
Yep. I know Alexa's down there.
You remember Alexa? She's a trans woman.
Alexa. Not the automated voice answering thing.
No. Alexa. And then Mike Ivey. I met him and he's down there.
But
I met him at Pharmacy.
Have they been on Kill Tony?
No.
No.
But he's always out there recording like the set list and shit. He does that like all the time. He's out there like posting who's going up or whatever the case.
I think
he did a set. I don't know if he did do a set there at some point in time, because they do have an open mic there as well. They have like two open mics. They have an open mic plus they have Kill Tony, I think. So that club is all about promoting comedy. It's all the people who work there are all comedians. So they all work their set. I mean, they all work and then they get to go do a spot and come back and do their job. They're all either doormen, and they all had to audition for the job as a bartender with their set though.
Oh, that's pretty cool,
right?
Actually, so everyone who works there is a comedian.
Exactly.
Oh,
so do you do like? I mean, I haven't really noticed that you did like topical comedy, like.
No, unless a joke pops in my head about it. Like I think I said it earlier today when we were talking, but I made a joke on stage before that, like right after the election, I was like, "You guys vote?" And like, "Yeah." And I was like, "Yeah, I voted." Sucks when your candidate loses, though. One day Kanye is going to get it, and then like I've done jokes like that where, but I don't like to write topical jokes because. Yeah. It's like borrowed time, you know. Yeah, they're only going to last a couple of months, and then you can't.
Exactly.
You can't keep doing them. So.
But they kill in the room, though.
They do, yeah.
And that's the problem because you'll see somebody go up and they'll do that stuff, and it's just like, but what's that do for your set? But it does great in the room sometimes, you know. So it's like that double-edged. I took it from this. It is a chance to work a muscle.
That's true.
Because it's a new joke.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's coming up with something to talk about in the moment. And it can just be like a one-liner.
Yeah.
Like you did, and then move the hell along. You know what I mean? So that's one thing I've been trying to think about. But at the same time, I see exactly what you're talking about. I stay away from it basically because it's time stamping.
Yeah.
It's
hard to, like, you know. I'll do it if it's free. You know, like if the joke just came to me and I'm like, all right, might as well. It seems like a good joke and I'll do it. But I usually don't just because I don't want to write a joke that's going to not last. But it is good writing. It's good writing experience.
Good
if you want to like look at headlines and then try to write a joke about it. Like have you guys seen Jerry Corley on YouTube? He's like the joke doctor.
Yeah,
like when I first got into comedy, I was watching all his videos because he like introduces you how to do stand up.
Yep.
And then one of his suggestions is look at headlines and try to write jokes for the headlines. That's like writing practice. So trying to practice is a good way to practice.
So what's his name again?
Jerry Corley.
Yeah.
Jerry Corley. And shout out to Hot Breath.
Joel Byers.
Joel Byers had him on there.
Yeah, I saw you guys had him on there. I watched the episode. Yeah,
but he had Jerry Corley on his, I think.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
If you ask me, those two gentlemen and the Midnight Pocket Podcast, and for all the new comics, you know, we talk about our experiences with comedy, you know, new things. We talk about things to expect. You know, we had Joe Byers on, so those are great episodes to check out.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're like new to comedy, I think, you know, our shows are the perfect shows for that.
Yeah. This was one of the first ones I listened to. You know, because
Joe Byers,
yeah, and Rogan, you know, but doing comedy though, Joe Byers was the main one because he talked about nothing but comedy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Rogan they go off on tangents and things like that.
Right.
You
know,
and I started watching his with the comedians first, and then I started watching the other ones. But
yeah.
Joe Byers, they talked about open mics and what to expect and this and that.
And how to write like your first 5 minutes. Yeah, it's a really good introduction. Oh,
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
So, all right. So you said you're interested in like, you know, doing some acting. Like, what are like, can you give me like three of your favorite movies? Like,
Ooh, favorite movies. Number one, favorite's Hot Fuzz.
Hot Fuzz.
Okay. A British movie with Simon Pegg and then Nick Frost. It's so fun. Because that movie's super clever. I like clever comedies.
That's dope. Yeah, that's something for me to look up.
Number, I gotta think. Number two, maybe Cabin in the Woods.
Cabin in the Woods?
I've never seen that.
Oh, it's like a horror movie, but it's a comedy at the same time.
Wait a minute, is it purposeful comedy?
Yeah, it's a comedy on purpose.
Okay, because a lot of times it'd be, there's a lot of movies out here that wasn't meant to be funny, but are hilarious.
It's like Scream-esque, how Scream's kind of like a comedy horror type, funny bits in it.
Got it.
Then number three, probably Shaun of the Dead. Okay. I love Nick Frost and Simon Pegg. The movies are so good. Yeah.
Nice.
But another British movie.
Yeah.
But I like British. Have you guys ever seen Taskmaster?
No.
Okay, just a British show. Go check it out. They have comedians on it. They all do weird tasks, and it's hilarious.
Okay.
Yeah, but.
Now, would you ever think about making one of those types of shows?
Oh, I'd love to. Yeah, if I was ever invited.
You said you do skits, right? Or no, you wrote skits out.
I've written skits. I used to do skits in like high school, but it's been a while.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm just trying to get really good at comedy. Like, I want to be able to sell myself as a comedian before I like try to delve into other stuff.
Well, the problem is that's trust me, and that's where I started my mindset. And he used to mess with me all the time. But you have to realize the way we're trying to move, man, is so hard and slow. And so you got to get as much exposure out there as possible. So if you
that's
do a
true.
Skit and put it out there on TikTok or some shit, that lets people know you're out there doing it, because the skit's funny. You know what I mean?
And it can't hurt.
Yeah, it can't hurt. You know, that's all I'm saying. It's like
some downtime
or whatever, if you ever thought about setting it up. Because you know pretty much how you want to look in your mind. So, you know, just put it out there, man.
And I got a question. Like, you know, shout out to Brahm. Thanks for all our friends and supporters over the pond. Shout out to Brahm over in England.
Yep. Love you, Brahm.
So, now my question is, like, you know, there's a lot of shows, like Sanford and Son was based off a show that was successful over in England.
Was it?
And then they brought it over here. There's a couple other shows like that as well.
Yeah.
There's a couple of movies that was done in other countries, and they have different versions of it in different, like, countries. What made you, like... Like, how did you know to find a British comedy? How did you know how did you do that?
I think it was just when I was a kid, it was randomly on TV, and then I watched it. And then it was one of my favorite movies, and I watched it as an adult, and it still held up. And I'm like, because British comedy is great. It's because my style of comedy, I like clever.
Yeah.
I like clever jokes. I like clever comedy. And that's kind of Britain's style. Like, there, a lot of the comics are very clever.
Right.
A lot of the jokes are very clever. Like, when there's movies over there. And so I just kind of like, that's kind of what I'm like drawn to. You know, it's the kind of comedy I'm drawn to. So I just discovered it randomly. And then Kelly's also my girlfriend. She's really into British.
Okay.
British people. Yeah. Really big fans of the Queen. Yeah.
Well, see, the
R.I.P.
We had to talk about her.
The only thing we had, I mean, that I knew of coming up was, it was Benny Hill, which was a British comedy. What was it called? A British comedy, like, you know, they had like different, like Saturday Night Live, sort of.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, Benny Hill. Shout out to Benny Hill. I love Benny Hill.
Shout out Benny Hill. I'm sure he's watching.
He's gone, but...
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he's not watching. He's watching from heaven.
But his shows are... You can Google it. Good stuff. We had Mr. Bean.
Mr. Bean. Mm-hmm. Okay, I remember
classic.
Mr. Bean. And it was a show called The Desmonds.
Wasn't Blackadder?
Blackadder. Yeah,
Blackadder was the same. He was Mr. Bean in.
Yeah, that's what he started at. I think he may have started up. I'm not sure.
Blackadder's.
Yeah, but you know that comedy is great.
Yeah.
And
Holy Grail too. Shout out Holy
Grail.
Monty Python, dude. So funny.
Mighty Python. And you had other movies that crossed over here was like Trainspotting and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There were like comedic, you know, England movies, and it's a lot, a host, a lot more. I saw one, can't think of the name of it. It was about wrestling. I can't think of it. I can't think of the name of it. But it's cool and it's different. But you know, like, would you like your movies? Like, since you're a big fan of the English Like, do you see yourself like doing something like maybe American version of like an English type humor type?
Sure. I mean, that's my kind of humor. So, like, if I were to make something, I think it would be more like clever type jokes, not like in your face funny type stuff.
Do you have no ideas so far?
For movies?
Yeah.
Movie ideas?
Yeah.
No. I mean, I haven't really thought. I've thought very little of like.
Let's go, Glenn.
Movies. Okay. I'm writing scripts.
Let's go, man.
Yeah. Right.
It's out here. I've written skits,
but yeah, I don't know. I don't know. A movie about a dog who is also a lawyer.
There you go.
And his wife is Oprah.
The dog's
and that's my
wife.
Movie.
But that's
yeah.
See, the problem
okay.
is now you gotta get make Oprah. That.
Oh, she'll be on board.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Nice. See, that's why I always say minimal characters, minimal locations.
Yeah, that's all we need. We need.
Sometimes you can't get those big people.
I want Air Bud. Not accepting anything less. I want the Air Bud. The Air Bud.
The dog Air Bud.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And see, how crazy is that? Because I guess movies run parallel to comedy. Because when you can create out of whatever, you can create. You know what I mean? Come up with ideas. It's like, what do I write a movie about? What do I do a set about? You know what I mean? It's fun.
Yeah, it is. Like synonymous. Writing a movie, making a set, you know, it's all coming from thin air. You got to think of like just funny ideas.
Or is it? Or do we just absorb it?
From the ethos. From the grand consciousness of mankind?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
The muse.
Yeah.
The muse real? Is the muse real?
I think it is.
I think so.
Yeah.
It could very well be.
We all took mushrooms before this, but I'm not
scared. I'm saying.
You know what?
Saying.
Hey, you know, in addition to, like, we talked a lot about his comedy, but this dude is an MC.
Right?
Like, can we hear some new music coming, or is it coming, or?
Yeah, we got like 5 songs done right now. We just gotta get the license to the beat, and then we gotta mix it a little bit, and it should be out in a couple months.
Okay,
probably, something like
so you're
that.
Still rocking that shit.
Yeah, still rocking.
Okay.
Yep.
So I asked him in the beginning, like, what's his rap name? It's not, you know, MCG Smooth or nothing like that, or G Smooth or G Like This. He said his name is Glenn.
Just Glenn. You call me Glenn. Because how many rappers out there are just called Glenn? You know, it's very unique.
Glenn.
No.
Hey, you
respectable
heard that
rapper.
Glenn?
Yeah.
With 2 N's. Glenn with 2 N's.
Glenn double N.
Glenn double N.
Yeah, that's me.
Man.
Glenn N squared.
Glenn to the second power N.
Hey. Nice.
I don't know.
It's a mouthful, but I think it'll work.
I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be hard to fit that into like a rhyme.
Shit's dope, though.
No.
I like that. Appreciate
it. Hey, look, check him out. Check his music out. He has skills. He has skills.
Try. Thank you. I appreciate that. You guys are so complimentary. It makes me feel good about myself. I need
trust
it.
Trust me, I've heard people
boost.
Rap, myself included.
Me
not
too.
Good. Not
I
good.
Suck.
Not good. And so when I hear something that's good, I have to give it credit. Especially when it's in that realm. Like I said, we talk, man. If you're doing rap and you're white, good luck.
Look, good luck. I'm black and I can't rap.
Yeah, good luck. So you got to, you know, the bar is Eminem. It's tough.
But
you don't have to be, but that's, in my mind, the bar. And it's like, I can't do that, so what's the point? You know, but you have to have that emotion. You have to love it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and really enjoy it. And I used to write shit back in high school and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's like that dream gave up a long time ago.
In my mind, I'm a rapper.
It was just like, what's the next thing? Get on the mic and talk shit.
It's true.
I don't care if I just did a comedy show. In my mind, I just did a rap comedy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like that. You said they run parallel.
Yeah, they do run parallel.
Have you seen some of these fucking arenas of comedians walking
into
and it's just...
Oh, yeah.
Like,
that's the pop. They call it the pop.
Yeah, like Taylor Swift just popped out.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Tay-Tay.
Shout out Tay-Tay. I know she's watching.
Yeah, and her followers. Follow us and subscribe.
Yeah. If just 1% of her followers follow this podcast.
Yeah, you know what? When we post this on hashtag Tay-Tay.
Yeah. Hashtag Tay-Tay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So to the Midnight Pocket Podcast, brought to you in part by the Acumen Paralegal Services. Help you help yourself the legal way. The services that they offer is they help with documents that need to be typed, guardianships, probate, divorce, wills and trusts, complaints, business organization, financial planning, and legal research and writing. Go ahead and give them a call at 216-727-0049 or 216-456-2000. Michelle White will get you right.
That's right.
What? I would like to thank you for coming on. Hey, Jay, where can they find you, baby?
Hey, everybody, you can follow me at Justin Fuller Comedy on all platforms.
And I am the underscore great underscore C-O-R-E-E. That's where you can find me. Or you can find us both on the Midnight Paco Podcast.
Right.
Yo, I would like to thank our very special guest, Glenn Mentier.
Yes.
Where can they find you?
Yeah, find me on Facebook. Find me on Instagram at Glenn Mentier. Or just, yes, type in my name. You'll find me. Also on TikTok. Type in my name. You'll find me. Two N's. M-E-N-T-E-E-R.
And YouTube. Check out.
Yeah, what about the music?
Check out Lyrical Rap Syndicate. That's my rap band with my cousin. So come check it out.
Yeah.